from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hour number two of the G-Bag Nation live from the Comerica backyard here at Globe Life Field, as we've got tons of Ranger fans that are already walking by. And if you are coming to the game today, Twins, Rangers, we've got an awesome giveaway, World Series champion short sleeve hoodie tonight, presented by Globe Life. First 15,000 fans will get that. So come by, say what's up. Zach Wolchuk alongside Eric Chiafalo. We got Brian Broaddus live in Oxnard. Gavin Dawson out for today. He'll be back on Monday. Lucius Alexander back in Master Control along with Carter Freeman. And, of course, you are Turned On, Leave It On listeners. But we got Dallas Cowboys football that will be on tomorrow here on your home of the Cowboys, 6 o'clock pregame with Eric and Brian. And then Brian and myself will have halftime and postgame until 2 a.m. in the morning, as it's a 9 o'clock kick. I know that's not a factor, as Nick
That'd
Harris,
be midnight
at
out here. Yeah. Midnight out
joins
here.
Us with Brian. Nick, it's a 7 o'clock kick, I guess, for you guys, because you're still going to be in Vegas with the team. But 9 o'clock kick, man, for preseason football, I'm not loving this.
Yeah, if we're talking about energy from if it's going to carry over from the Rams game into this Raiders game, then you might have a lot of sleepy fans come 12 at night whenever they're getting into the third quarter.
Yeah, man, can we get some touchdowns in this football game?
Just
one TD. Okay, out of the offensive players that you expect to see a lot of, who do you think could use that touchdown the most, really help their case to make the roster?
I'm going to go Tyron Billy Johnson and also Deuce Vaughn. Can I use two there?
Okay.
I think Tyron Billy Johnson, he only had two series in the game against the Rams. I expected him to get a lot more work. You know, he's looked really good out here in Oxnard, but Jalen Cropper has kind of caught up to him, if not surpassed him. So I think if they want to take six receivers, that final spot, man, it's going to be really close between those two guys, Ryan Flannoy, Racy McMathis kind of in that mix as well. And then you look at Deuce Vaughn, he's been out for most of training camp with a hamstring issue. He finally returns this week, but man, he needs to have a big game in one of these final two preseason games. You know, the running back room is clearly looking for some juice. He definitely has that juice, but can he put it on the field? That's going to be really big for him to try and prove. If he had a big touchdown in this game against the Raiders, man, that would be awesome for his stock.
Is that where the biggest competitions lie in terms of fighting for roster spots? Is it that wide receiver room, Nick, or is it somewhere else where they're going to have to make some seriously tough decisions?
Yeah, receiver is the one I'm definitely looking at. I think it's a good problem that they have at wide receiver. I think they got a lot of guys that are worthy of being on an NFL roster, but they can only take – I think they're going to end up taking six. They can only take those six. And so you look at the five from last year with CD Lamb, Brandon Cooks, Jalen Tolbert, Jalen Brooks, and Kevontae Turpin. I think those five guys are are safe. But then you look at that sixth spot. Who's it going to be? I think that's going to be a really interesting battle. And then you also look at the linebacking core. Who are going to be the linebackers that they take? Who's the last one in that room that they take? It's going to be a fascinating argument. And then the corner has definitely had some switching up over the course of the last week. Trade out Nashawn Wright. You get Andrew Booth. Okay, then who's going to be at the depth of that corner room? Does Eric Scott Jr. have a roster spot? He had one last year, but he never played. So there's going to be some interesting decisions made for sure. I think it's going to be a more interesting 53 cut than it was last year for sure.
Hey, Nick, are you looking at this defensive line? Are they done there? Or do you feel like that they're going to kind of take a look at maybe further guys, maybe some edges, or are they done with how you see it?
I think they are done for right now, but there's 2 weeks left in the preseason, right? And I think if they get and camp as well,
yeah.
I think if they get past these 2 weeks and they look, hey, we might need another guy in the interior, I think that's probably where they go. As far as the edge and that situation, you know, you add Carl Lawson, how much will that be able to help? I don't think we'll necessarily see that until the season gets up and going, but I like what Al-Kadeem Muhammad has done during his time here at camp. I think if he gets more reps, it's going to look pretty good as far as those rotational bodies there on the edge, and you add Carl Lawson in that mix. But right there in the interior, yes, you trade for Jordan Phillips, but I've mentioned it a couple times on some shows this week. I think you still need another guy that can be reliable and run-stopping, and I if Mozzie Smith can't take that extra step to be that, they might have to go out for extra help still.
Has there been any position group that you've really kind of changed your mind on? Okay, we were concerned, like the biggest needs, yeah. If you've reassessed since training camp, like, okay, this group actually needs some more help here than I anticipated, and this one a little bit stronger than I thought coming in.
Yeah, as far as the one that I anticipated it being fine and it needed more help was that edge group. Now, granted, Sam Williams going down with the torn ACL, it kind of expedited that problem. But seeing that preseason game against the Rams and looking at the lack of pressure that those guys were able to generate off the edge, I was looking at it like, man, the only time anytime Stetson Bennett was being pressured, it was coming from a blitzing linebacker. Jason Johnson was the only one who got a sack on him. So that caught me by surprise coming out of that game, but you know they've added a couple bodies there like we talked about, and you know we'll see if that helps going forward. And as far as a position group that has exceeded my expectations, it's the linebacking core. I mean, goodness gracious, we walked out of AT&T Stadium in January with one healthy linebacker, and now we're looking up and you have an experienced veteran who's the kind of bridge between Mike Zimmer and the on-field personnel and Eric Kendricks. You got Damone Clark, you got DeMarvian Overshown back, you draft Maris Luafau, who's looked great out here at camp, and then you have some really fun special teams bodies and guys like Buddy Johnson, Jason Johnson, Willie Harvey. I mean, the linebacking core is really it's taken a huge step forward in my eyes.
It's Nick Harris, DallasCowboys.com, with us here in the G-Bag Nation. Nick, live in Oxnard. When are you hopping on the bird with the boys coming up here? You're heading to Vegas?
Yeah, hopping on the bird. The bus ride to LAX is going to be longer than the hop on the bird, so it's always a trip out here.
You got to stop by the Star Trek furry event that's going down out there if you get a chance, Nick. Our guy Gavin Dawson's going to be out there representing.
So noted, noted. Yeah. That sounds like more his scene, but I might swing by and say what's up.
Just give him a wave, you know, just to let him know we support him.
Hey, what do you think about this this position battle when it comes to the center situation? How much of a battle is it between Hoffman and Beebe, and who do you like starting week one?
Yeah, it's crazy. You asked me a week ago, and I would have said, yeah, Brock Hoffman, I think he's got this in the bag. And then Cooper Beebe, he gets a ton of first-team reps this week. He's looked good. Hoffman has had he didn't have the best game of his life against the Rams, and he hasn't had the best practices this week. I still like Brock Hoffman to be the starting center week one, but Cooper Beebe's coming.
You know, when you look at this team, though, Nick, and I always like to think about it as where do you have surplus? Mm. Do they have safeties that they could actually move for some pieces, you think?
Yeah. Whenever I identify surplus, I look at the safeties, and then I also look at interior offensive line. Yeah. Now, granted, I think they need to hold on to that interior offensive line depth 100%.
Because of the tackle
because
situation.
Because of the tackle
having
situation.
To kick a guy. Okay,
yeah. I think it could alleviate an issue if you have an injury problem in the middle of the season at tackle and you need to move some guys around. Then the interior depth really helps you there. But you look at the safety position, you're absolutely right. Now, how valuable are some of those safeties if you wanted to start cooking up trade conversations? That's where I probably have a little bit of pessimism, but I mean, that room is so deep. I mean, they have a lot of guys that are proven. They've been players on special teams, players on the field on defense. That's a really good group in my eyes.
Who do you think are the two best safeties in that room? It seems like Malik Hooker has his spot
solidified as the true free safety on the roster. He's super smart, super intelligent. But I know Brian and I have talked about this. Like, it seems like his play can be extremely inconsistent. And last year he kind of faded. He's dealt with injuries as well. But, I mean, is he clearly one of the top two safeties, or is Marquise Bell stepping up, Donovan Wilson, somebody else in that room kind of thinking, might take some playing time?
I still like Malik Hooker and Donovan Wilson. I think they serve their roles really well. And what they're asked to do in this Zimmer defense, I think, is going to help them quite a bit as well. We saw a lot of single high stuff with Malik Hooker last year, and I think he's going to be alleviated a little bit by some more protection there on the back end. And that'll be able to help his job a little bit better. It's all about just not putting too many hats on one guy. That's kind of what I identify as the biggest differences between the Dan Quinn defense and this Mike Zimmer defense. And it has its pros and its cons, don't get me wrong, but I think one of the pros is you got guys like Damone Clark. You got guys like Malik Hooker who can kind of take a few responsibilities off their plate and really hone in on what they got going on. But yeah, I still like Hooker and Wilson. But man, Marquise Bell had an awesome first half against the Rams. I think Wonye Thomas is a guy that's going to be in the league 10 years. They have a really fun group there. You look at the undrafted free agents that they picked up, Julius Wood out of East Carolina and Amani Johnson out of Nevada. Those are two good players. It's just, how are they going to find places on the field for them? That's the biggest question now. But yeah, I really like both of those guys. Wood had an interception on Stetson Bennett last week, one of the million that Bennett threw. So, yeah, a really good group there in the safeties.
When it comes to this running back stuff here, Nick, I mean, they've already made the move on the D-line to get some other bodies in there. Do you have an expectation that they're gonna kick around trying to maybe make a trade or snag a guy who gets cut at the end of training camp from another team? Like, do you think this running back room is finished here? And who has impressed you, if anybody, in this position group so far?
I can give you one guarantee, is that this Cowboys front office is going to be watching very closely at every other team's 53 cut. If there's a body out there that they see as juice, don't be surprised. I think, you know, you look at this running back room, and in my perception of it, you have two RB2s in Ezekiel Elliott and Rico Dowdle, and then you have a lot of, you know, just hodgepodge behind that. And which of those guys can show that they have some juice? Because you look at Zeke, you look at Rico, these are some downhill guys, at least in my eyes, with still some receiving knacks, don't get me wrong, but they need the juice in there. And is that Deuce Vaughn? Is that Malik Davis? Malik Davis got a really good opportunity last weekend. 8 carries, 18 yards. He didn't really do much with it. So would love to see what Deuce can do. Would love to see if Royce Freeman can maybe get on the field this weekend and kind of show what he has. I'm not super confident in there just based on his production over the last couple of years. But as of right now, I'm not really sure what that room looks like behind Zeke and Rico without an extra body.
Nick, staying on with the running backs, do you feel like last week we saw Trey Lance throw the ball 40 times?
Yeah.
Does Mike McCarthy come out in this game plan and say, okay, we've got healthy backs. To your point, I need to see them all. Do you feel like that they're going to try and run the ball more in this game than what they did against the Rams?
Absolutely. I think the over-under, whenever you look at Lance's attempts, I'm probably putting it at 27.5 going into this game. Just because you have two more healthy bodies now at running back, you can spread the load out a little bit more. I mean, Snoop Connor's not a bad back. I think he's a guy that's going to be getting some really good opportunities tomorrow night. But then you have Deuce Vaughn back in the equation. Does Royce Freeman get some reps? Even though he is a veteran, he still needs to kind of prove his spot as well. I think the running backs are going to be heavily utilized tomorrow.
Yeah, just more of a commitment to it, right?
Absolutely.
I mean
absolutely.
I just didn't feel like that when we were sat down and watched the tape after the game, how you're even evaluating your backs, but how you're evaluating your offensive line.
Yeah.
Some of those
sure.
guys.
Yeah, there was so much action in the flat for Trey Lance coming out of that game. If that's the type of gains and type of chunk gains you're trying to get, why not hand the ball off as well? Like, I understand wanting to utilize Trey Lance and get his arm out there, get him comfortable, but I felt like they could have used the running game a little bit more for sure.
Nick Harris, DallasCowboys.com, with us here in the G-Bag Nation. Of course, you can check out Nick Tuesday, Thursdays during the football season with Sean and RJ. And then we usually get to chat with Nick on Fridays. Nick's our guy.
We go
way back with you, brother.
Hey, I do want to say I appreciate you guys, because this time last year, no one knew who my name was, and you were like, hey, Zach, let's get Nick Harris on the show. So I appreciate you guys. I always got love for the G-Bag.
Hey, you know we love you, but I do want to pick your brain on Trey Lance. And I know Brian's been keeping us updated on how he's looked out there since we've left, but overall expectations and what you are hoping to see from him tomorrow in preseason game number two.
You know, I said this earlier this week on a podcast, and, you know, certain people have a certain take on it. I think the best thing for Trey Lance would be to go out in the first half and throw an interception early on. just get the mistake out the way. I think he's playing with a little bit too much angst. Like, just go out there, make the bad decision, and then play free and just kind of worry, throw the worries out the window. I think whenever he has his biggest struggles, it's him not trusting it. And he hasn't been good outside the hashes. I would like to see him work a little bit more in the middle of the field. I think that's probably where he has his sweet zone a little bit more. And if he wants to utilize the hashes, get out on the run. Get out and use that athletic ability. I would say three of his five best throws that he had against the Rams was him scrambling outside and throwing on the run. I mean, he can do that. He can fire a strike. So I just want to see him use his strengths a little bit more, and I want to see him be a little bit more confident. I think if you marry those two things together, he'll have a good performance in a preseason game.
After Jake Ferguson, who's the tight end you like the most?
Oh, man, that's a tough one. Luke Schoonmaker, I can't point at one thing that says that he's better at this than everyone else in that tight end room.
That's fair.
But I can point at a guy like John Stevens, and I can be like, I think this is the best receiving tight end behind Jake Ferguson. Now, and they utilized him on some lead blocker situations last week, and John Stevens looked good. He looked comfortable in those situations. I still do believe that Luke Schoonmaker is the tight end too on this roster, just because he has the all-around skill set. He can catch, he can receive, he can route run, he can block and get after it on the point of attack. But I think there are a couple of guys behind him that are really going to push for his spot. I like John Stevens to make this roster. I also like Brevin Spanford to make this roster.
And if I could put you on the spot for our final question here, I believe that where are we with the CeeDee? I don't expect the Dak Prescott signing anytime soon. Anything you're hearing whisper-wise with CeeDee Lamb?
Yeah, there's more conversations going on, especially coming up on this preseason game. There's more conversations going on. Offers are being exchanged. I still remain really shocked if we get to week one and CeeDee Lamb's not already in the building. I think once the calendar turns to September, 88's in the building. I would bet on that.
Nick, before we let you boogie out of here, I know you're a big high school football guy. We got scrimmages that are starting already. I don't know. I mean, you've got your focus on your day job with the Cowboys and Oxnard, but anything you can tease for us high school football junkies as we get ready for this fall?
Oh, absolutely. If you're a high school football fan trying to get out and see some good teams these Friday nights this season, go catch Duncanville. You got an Alabama commit at quarterback in Keelan Russell, one of the top quarterbacks in the country. And then you have the number one wide receiver in the country in DeCorian Moore. He's going to Oregon. That's a really fun team. They got talent on defense as well. And DeSoto, they beat Duncanville last year, and they won a state championship last year. They have an SMU commit at quarterback in Keldon Ryan. You know, that's a guy to definitely take a look at. He's transferred in from Keller Central, so really good talent there. And DeSoto's always going to have the guys. But if you're looking more on the north side, the Frisco schools, they have talent this year. Panther Creek has had a lot of speed transfer into that program. Byron Nelson's one of the top teams in the state. So pretty much anywhere you go in DFW, you're going to find your team. And then always, you got to respect the hyphen, Rockwall Heath. Let's go.
Oh, yeah.
Bro, I saw you mention something about Jason Witten's son.
Yeah.
What do we need to know about him?
Cooper Witten, he's a class of 2027 kid. He's the number 25 recruit in the country. Thinking he's probably going to play safety at the next level, but he has the size, and he could probably add the bulk if he wanted to play tight end or if he wanted to play receiver at the next level, he probably could. But he's already got six offers. He's got the LSUs, the Bamas. Obviously, Tennessee is going to be involved there too, but already a top 25 recruit in the country. He plays at Liberty Christian High School in Argyle, where Jason Witten coaches.
Nick, you're an absolute beast, brother. We love you. Safe travels to Vegas. Say what's up to Dawson if you run into him. Hopefully the game is not all field goals, and we'll catch up with you very, very soon.
I appreciate you guys. Y'all have a great one.
There he goes, our guy Nick Harris, DallasCowboys.com, here on your home of Dallas Cowboys football. Let's keep the NFL conversation rolling. NFL news of the day, Sam Darnold's balls, training camp traditions, and this coach is benching.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Himself.
All right, let's get you that NFL news of the day, courtesy of the Wooly Bully, Zach Wolchuk. And we're 15 minutes away from Krusty's Corner. Brian brought us live in Oxnard, giving you all the Cowboys things to know. And this segment of the G-Bag Nation is brought to you by the Frankels. That's right, life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. Frankel & Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you or a loved one has been in an accident, contact Frankel & Frankel for a free consultation at 214-333-3333 or go to frankelfirm.com. And G-Bag Nation is also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. We're live at the ballpark. Cannot wait to see you. Have some awesome giveaway tonight. And I learned that it's actually extra large sizes and medium sizes.
Yes,
there we go. Yeah,
XL,
like to hear that. That's good.
And medium for the Belichick cutoff hoodie, mm-hmm. World Series championship Texas Rangers deal. It's fantastic. I can't wait to rock it. Here's the Bully.
Thank you very much, Eric. Brian, you're giving me the pointy fingers.
Yeah. Do you think Belichick was the one who invented that? Is he the one that when
I think
we think
he's
about
the one that kind of put it on the
now?
On
but
the
he's
map.
The cutoff. Is he's the cutoff? Arms, or is he the, I mean.
Yeah, it's the arms. It's the arms.
Like all the arm. Like the whole arm, like a vest.
Yeah, I guess
it's both. He's done both. I think when he's on the sidelines, generally.
I've seen him do the three-quarter.
Yeah,
I've seen him like three-quarter, and it, you know.
That's his game day, like more professional look. I think like Monday to Saturday in the office, I think you could see him with the full-fledged cutoff at the top of the arm.
Yeah, and no T-shirt underneath. It's like he's got dough arms. That,
yeah,
you know,
he's,
like,
yeah, dough arms, no doubt. Yeah. Pillsbury dough Belichick there. Now, we do have the NFL news when it comes to the Cowboys that's circulating right now as they get ready to leave, go to Vegas. Calvin Watkins of the Morning News did report that things could be heating up with CeeDee Lamb. That's the hope. The two sides did have a phone conversation yesterday prior to the team leaving to go to Vegas, and the report is that the offer is slightly under $33 million per season, a person with knowledge of the talks told the Dallas Morning News, which, in fairness, if it's slightly under $33 million, what was it that Pretty Ricky reported? 32.5
yeah.
It kind of adds up a little bit, does it not?
Pretty Ricky seems like he strikes again.
Yeah, I got to give him some credit there. But I don't know that 33 is going to cut it. We'll see how that ends up going. But, again, I think all of us are in agreement right now that CeeDee's going to be there week one. I think contract or no contract, CeeDee Lamb's there week one. But my hope is this thing gets done, Brian.
Yeah, he is not going to miss $1 million game check. I just don't see that happening.
I don't either.
Yeah, and if it's and if this thing goes under 33, that still makes him the second highest paid receiver in the league.
Yes,
if
anything
I'm right
over
about 30, that.
Yeah, 32, I believe, is what A.J. Brown's making.
Yeah, and I'm hearing that he's – I don't know if this is going to happen while we're here, but kind of keep an eye on that potentially when we get back to Frisco.
Okay.
That's kind of – I mean, I know that he's down in Miami – training and doing
working out,
and they really don't know if there's real intention of him showing up here. So
okay,
let's see. I mean, that's just kind of the buzz I'm hearing. I've heard the last couple of days.
I like that. Yeah, I I'll still be shocked if he's not here for week one.
Yeah.
You guys
say absolutely.
If the contract is not done, you still think he shows up and plays without it.
Yeah.
I wonder what type of saltiness, energy he's bringing into the locker room at that point. Everybody's temperament's a little bit different. Yeah. It might fuel him, chip on his shoulder. You get an even better version of him because he's like, bleep you, watch this.
Yeah.
Or the opposite. I don't know. But I don't think it comes to that. They're going to get the deal done.
Yeah, I'm hopeful of that, too. Now, the Vikings, we've talked about, obviously, they lose J.J. McCarthy, their rookie quarterback this week. Now, they've officially placed J.J. McCarthy on IR. They signed former Panthers quarterback Matt Corral, former Ole Miss great. So they're adding another arm.
Zach, did you think he was going to be okay?
Yeah, as a backup, I thought that he had potential. I mean, he had a good arm. He's got some mobility. I didn't think he'd ever really be a starter in the NFL, but I didn't think that he'd be, like, in and out of the league and playing. I think he was just in the XFL.
Yeah, kind of crazy because, you know, when you watch Ole Miss, they were a pretty decent team with him. You know, we had to evaluate all those receivers, and he was the guy, you know, chucking the ball a lot of those times. So I kind of find it, in a way, like, man, how did I miss that guy? Because
right.
I'm not saying, yeah, I see what you're saying about not a starter, but I thought he would at least have a career in this league. There are a lot of bad quarterbacks in this league. I kind of didn't feel like that he was one of them. Maybe going to Carolina was the
That could have been the
He got hurt. I mean,
yeah.
he got hurt like and he was seconds in.
And he was drafted by the Matt Rhule regime, which all gets canned halfway through. So probably an unfair start to his career. But it was up in Adams' show. Kay Adams was out at Vikings camp, and she's talking with Justin Jefferson, and he gives us a scouting report on Sam Darnold's balls.
That surprise you, just like how good Sam Darnold's arm is?
Oh, yes. Very surprising. You know, it is my first time really, you know, being around Sam and having him throw to me. So to see the balls that he throw, especially the go balls, the deep balls that he throw, it was right in the hands and it feels like a soft pillow. So he's been doing a great job just, you know, trying to learn and try to, you know, build that chemistry with the whole team.
And shout out to Diana Rossini. That was Diana Rossini there, not Kay Adams. But is this kind of just like Justin Jefferson? He's talking up his guy here. He knows now that's QB1.
Yes.
Or is he really throwing pillow balls?
No, he's throwing pillow balls to defenders. Every time I look up, it's another interception. Sam Darnold throwing to the opposing team.
Never get tired of that. They've even got him now where they do him in practice. And he'll throw an interception, and everybody's chasing, and then you see the guys with the guardian caps on, and they're all waving and jumping up and down. Yeah, nobody. The Sam Darnold pick six never gets old. Never gets old. Yeah.
Well, we did have the quarterback competition start to heat up there in New England. It kind of seemed like this was a foregone conclusion that it was going to be Jacoby Brissett and they were going to ease in Drake May. But I guess Patriots liked what they saw from Drake May last night against the Eagles. As Gerard Mayo said, this thing is far from over. He has been lighting it up, the reports are, in practice. Went 6 for 11, 47 yards, had a 4-yard rushing touchdown. And he did look good manipulating the pocket. He saw the athleticism that we saw at North Carolina. I mean, the issue with Drake May for me, and I know you weren't a huge fan, it was just the consistency issues.
Yeah.
There were times it's like, holy hell, that's an NFL throw right there. You know he's athletic. He's super tough. Big physical quarterback, but then it's kind of like watching Trey Lance right now.
Yeah,
there were times where the ball just go, it's just sailing.
No
on
telling
it.
Where
no
it's going to go.
No idea where it's going to go.
I was reading some things just this week about Drake May, where apparently, like at North Carolina, there was not a single ounce of coaching as it pertains to footwork.
And that's pretty apparent when you watch him.
Yeah, I mean, we know how much
blaming my guy Mac Brown, aren't we now?
I guess. I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe that's an overstatement on the report that I saw. But it was like, man, because everybody in New England's like, yeah, it's the footwork thing.
He's got
Drake
happy
May.
Feet.
Like he's got to get the footwork down. And apparently, if there was any footwork coaching for Drake May at North Carolina, it was as minimal as it could possibly be. And brought it, you know, firsthand. Footwork is really most of what dictates the accuracy of a quarterback oftentimes, right?
Yeah, so the platform you throw from always seems to affect how the pass is is going to look.
So the erratic nature of Drake May, where, like, naturally he can throw the ball and do all
these
things.
Or he's just erratic. Awesome. That's something could be. Yeah.
Oh, well, for sure. And for your sake and for your grade on him and your analysis of him and your scouting report of him, that's exactly what you want. Now you're going to hate watch Drake May the same way I hate watch Will Levis. It's fine. You can admit it. I admit it. When you have a bad grade on a guy, you don't want him to be good. It's human nature.
You know what? Drake May's of the world, that's fine. I mean, it's not a bad grade or anything at all. It's just that, you know, I've been wrong about quarterbacks before. I've been right about quarterbacks before, too.
Yes, you
have. But the thing with Drake May is that, you know, all of a sudden we're starting to hear about all his faults. You know, and these are things I was talking about, you know, in April, in March, when we were talking, hey, this guy has some issues. He said not consistent. You know, footwork, things like that. You could go back. I could show you my report right now. And all of a sudden now it's like, North Carolina doesn't coach their players.
Hey, give yourself some credit. Don't say you've been talking about it since March or April. You've been talking about it since December, big boy.
December 1st.
Now, the thing about it is, North Carolina, we've had our shares of Mitch Trubisky's and people like that. Come on.
Yep.
I mean, probably not getting coached very well there, but it's amazing how we all get picked in the top five when we're at these.
It is. Sam Howell, if he was just a little bit taller, he might have had a chance to go in the first round. Bad news, Bengals have a running back that's going to miss the entire regular season. Torn patella tendon in a joint practice. It's Chris Evans, former sixth-round pick that was expected to have a more prominent role. I know Chase Brown is a running back that's getting a lot of love there. Zach Moss, my dude, who just, when he gets his opportunities, he seems to perform. I'm just putting in the call. That is Zach Moss's backfield there.
Really?
With the Cincinnati Bengals.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not on the Bengals beat
like that.
Chase Brown is getting so much
love. Just steady Eddie, Zach Moss.
Go ahead and draft him, Eric, for that fantasy team you're going to finish last place with.
Hey, I ain't taking any fantasy advice from you over there, Broadus.
You know what? If you did, you deserve to finish in last place. I'll sit at the Waffle House with you and pound waffles if that's
all right,
the case.
It's a date.
Bill's got an injury settlement with Chase Claypool, so he's now out there. I guess he could sign with another team, but supposedly he's hurt. Or maybe he's not really hurt. Wink, wink.
Maybe he just sucks.
That's what's happening this time of year. Get ready. You're going to see a lot of veteran guys all of a sudden figure out, hey, I'm not going to make this team. And then it turns into soft tissue injury guy. And then they get waived. And then they get injury settled. And they get two game checks. And they move on with their life. That's going to happen a lot here in the next couple of weeks.
Pat Mahomes at Chiefs camp was talking about his favorite training camp traditions. In doing so, did he end up fat shaming the backup quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's even more than the dorms. We always go to Lazzarone a couple times, and we take the guys, we get some pizzas. I usually do it after kind of like the second pat a day before the 10-10-10, so we were there yesterday. And so don't remember that for next year and try to storm our party. We go there, and you just eat, and you just joke around. I think Ian Book had like 9 pieces of pizza yesterday, man. I had to calm him down because the first time we went, the O-line, he only got 1 piece because the O-line ate all his pizza. So he went in this last day. So no, but the stuff like that is where you build that bond. And then you have those jokes and stuff for the rest of the year. And that's what builds the great culture that we have.
He had 9 pieces of pizza. I had to calm him down.
Yeah.
Now he explains why. You know, last year he probably felt like I got to
somewhere.
Eat. I got to crush this right now or else I'm not getting the pizza. These linemen are taking it all.
Yeah, right now Eric is so jealous. Because he sat there at Toppers and did the same damn thing.
Yeah,
like
right.
By himself,
great.
Just like, oh, give me the all meat lovers pizza.
Man,
and just punish that thing.
Shout out to the Meatinator.
Yeah, you channeled your Ian Book on that one, didn't you?
You know, I think that Toppers does it right by calling it the Meatinator, though. Like, it's meat lovers.
Meat lovers.
It ought to be the Greasinator. That thing, man. I tell you, there's some serious grease on that. And that's what
there
makes
is.
It so good.
It does.
It had a great drip on that thing.
Absolutely. All right, there's your NFL news of the day. We got Krusty's Corner brought to you by Dallas College. Your future begins here. Where are we going, Krusty?
Yeah, let me tell you who you need to be looking at in this game against the Raiders. We'll do that next.
Thank you, Lucius. We'll have a Friday news dump coming up at the top of the hour. But right now, it's time to head out to Oxnard. We've got Brian Broaddus with his Krusty's Corner. Of course, Brian, also brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey from grain to glass. Brian, What do you got for us?
Yeah, and also Dallas College, too, if you don't mind throwing those fine folk in there
Dallas
as well.
Dallas College.
Yeah, appreciate that. They've been great to us and really, really do like they appreciate everything they've done. Hey, have you guys ever eaten skinny popcorn?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
I've stolen some of Bassick's before.
You know what? First time I've ever had it, and I don't know if it's just because I was so hungry, but it's actually pretty good.
Yeah, it's good.
You know, it's kind of it doesn't have all the things that you would really kind of how you doll popcorn up. It's kind of plain, but for just being plain popcorn, I'm digging what they're selling here.
If you showed up to my house for a football watch party on a football Sunday, maybe Cowboys have a bye week brought us. We're not doing the pre and post game, so we're just doing some Scott Hansen NFL red zone,
oh,
and
wow.
I got a spread laid out.
Yeah,
and
I have
got
a
skinny
headache.
Popcorn.
Yeah.
You're not going to crap on me for having a little skinny pop hanging
I'm
out?
I'm just telling you right now that, like, listen, I was so hungry that all I had was a bag of skinny popcorn, and I'm like sitting here like going, okay,
damn.
But it was good. It was good, and
it's good.
I didn't expect it to be good. I was thinking it's like when you eat when Jared hands you a rice cake, you know, and you give it that. Thanks. You're kind of just doing it. But the skinny popcorn was good, so tip of the cap to them as well. All right, I'm going to look at some players here. I'm going to look at all these running backs, boys, the ones that need to play. They're going to, again, I think the way that they've done this scrimmage and then the way that they practiced yesterday, they had their mojo moment where they went, it was first offense, and they went for like 12 plays in a row, 15 plays in a row. And so they kind of got their work with their first offense of moving the football. So I don't think you're going to see any of the starter dudes playing in this game tomorrow night.
Mm.
But all these other backs, we need to figure out this running back room. I know we had Nick Harris on earlier. We need to figure out Ezekiel Elliott, Rico Dowdle. They're talking about Malik Davis like they used to talk about Brock Hoffman. You know, that kind of that, oh, hey, well, Malik Davis has had a really good camp where you're like, why have I noticed Nathaniel Pete more than Malik Davis? But anyway, finally got a healthy group of guys. Tomorrow they need to sort this running back thing out. But I still also, though, believe they need to keep an eye on the National Football League.
I'm with you.
At waiver time.
Brian, my fear on this is, depending on what they're putting out there, like you gave us what you think the line's going to look like.
Yeah.
Josh Ball at left tackle, I don't think, is giving Trey Lance or your running game any chance of success.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a problem, you know, but you're hoping on the other end, what are the Raiders going to do? You know, the Raiders, if the Raiders all of a sudden, if Antonio Pierce is trying to, like, set the tone and be that guy, and all of a sudden he's pulling Andy Reid and we've got legitimate, their first-team defense out there rushing the passer, this could be the early series could be pretty ugly until they figure that out. You're absolutely right about that. But they need to do something. They need to kind of get an idea about these running backs. This is the first time they've all been healthy.
Yeah.
So let's see what we got here. You know, Deuce Vaughn, first time he looked good in the scrimmage of the day when it came down to the goal line of his finding that ability to get through that the hole there and get in the end zone.
I heard he was nutmegging dudes, but not with the ball, just with his own body. He was just running between their legs, and they're
he the helmet, bam.
He is that small. He is that small. Wide receivers, Tyrone Billy Johnson needs to be a part of this. I think Jalen Cropper needs to be a part of this. I think Ryan Flournoy needs to be a part of this. And I feel like that David Durden, there's four guys right there. They're battling for the last two spots, I think. If they go six, it's two guys. If they're going five, it's one guy. So one of those four guys needs to kind of try and take a leg up going and get to that last preseason game where all those guys are going to get work. But somebody needs to put themselves ahead in this group, because the numbers might be a little tight at wide receiver. Need to see something from Luke Schoonmaker in this game coming up. And I know I always say that. I feel like that Luke Schoonmaker's the guy I always have to see something, but I do need to see something from him because, to me, when, you know, I've thrown dirt on Peyton Hendershot, and it might be a situation where, and I don't know if they would get rid of a second-round pick, but, man, if one of these guys, if Hendershot shows better than Schoonmaker, I think John Stevens, I think they really like John Stevens a lot. And so I wouldn't be surprised if you look at it right now and say Jake Ferguson, John Stevens, and now who's the third guy here? You know, they probably won't do something with Schoonmaker, but me personally, I need to see him do some things here. The offensive line, it's interesting because I felt like that Awesome Richards could play the left tackle spot. I'm surprised they moved Ball out to left tackle.
Yeah.
I think Awesome Richards doesn't want to play left tackle. I don't think Awesome Richards doesn't want to play tackle. I think Awesome Richards sees himself more as a guard, and he is okay with that. But there might be a situation right now where Awesome Richards really doesn't have a choice, and he needs to think about, hey, okay, maybe I could be the swing guy at tackle and play some guard as well. But playing Josh Ball out there, Josh Ball's been okay at guard. I don't know about him playing tackle. But I think Awesome Richards would be the better of the choice out there. But I wonder now in his mind if he's checked out from that.
So, I don't know how many times you need to see the guy play. Josh Ball is not an NFL player.
Well,
I mean, you're asking yourself to move the ball.
Yeah, well, Letzko has looked worse.
Worse?
Than Ball.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, they are so thin at tackle. That is really disheartening to hear.
They are thin. We could always talk about Mozzie Smith with the defensive line. You know, Albert Huggins is going to continue to get work. He's still on the team. Let me throw you a name right here that I think is battling for a spot maybe as an edge. Tyrus Wheat as a possibility. I don't think that Fehoko is going to be here. I know Nick talked about Muhammad, but I would be interested to see if Tyrus Wheat has the type of game that he's shown in practice. He's shown some reps where he's actually been pretty darn good rushing the passer. So keep an eye on him in that Raider game. He's number 91. I like what I've seen so far with Justin Rogers as well. And hopefully he can continue on that path of maybe being a guy that, if it's not Mozzie, maybe Justin Rogers is your second one technique on this team. The linebackers, Nick mentioned about Willie Harvey. He needs to show up in this thing. They have a guy named Nick Vigil who actually they got, who they signed. And I really like Nick Vigil because I think he plays the run really well. I think he's really good against the pass. He has some awareness. There was some practice out here the other day where he was knocking down the ball, kind of carrying some routes. So keep an eye on number 52, Nick Vigil, as a guy that might sneak onto this group. You maybe thought it was a Damian Wilson kind of a deal or a Darius Harris kind of a thing with some veteran guys. But the veteran guy that's kind of shown up on practice field has been this Nick Vigil, number 52.
And Vigil was with Zim in Minnesota?
He was with Zim. And when you watch him play, you could tell he has a real understanding of what's going on out here. This corner group is with Carson. I don't think Carson's going to play because of the wisdom teeth. You know, he's still dealing with that. So now that gives some opportunity. Keep an eye on Andrew Booth, who they traded for. Andrew Booth was playing some right corner yesterday. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a lot of burn. Him and Eric Scott. This Josh DeBerry is another one they're kind of looking at. And then Hall is a corner who they play in the slot as well. Mm-hmm. These guys, all these guys that I mentioned, are kind of maybe fighting for that sixth corner spot, that last cornerback spot. So, but Andrew Booth, talking to some guys at Minnesota, his days at Minnesota sound a lot like Nashawn Wright's days here with the Cowboys. They're like, hey, this was going on. And I'm like, well, damn, that sounds like what Nashawn Wright was going on out here. Yeah. So it sounds like, you know, maybe player for player there. But keep an eye on him if he's a guy that actually could make this roster when we get this thing down to 53.
Brian, thank you so much.
Thank you, man.
Krusty's Corner every day. We moved it 3:40-ish right here in the G-Bag Nation. Up next, Friday News Dump.
That's right. New York unloads on the Hawk Tua girl, and a big money sports owner took an L last night. That's next year in the Nation.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.